May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 1015. My soul, repeat his praise, whose mercies are so great, whose anger is so slow to rise, so ready to abate. 1015.
Together from God's holy word, the book of Genesis, chapter 42. Genesis, chapter 42. Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, Why do ye look one upon another? And he said, Behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither, and buy for us then from thence, that we may live and not die. And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren. For he said, Lest peradventure mischief befall him. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came. For the famine was in the land of Canaan. Joseph was the governor over the land. And he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, Whence come you? Whence come ye? And they said, From the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them, and said unto them, Ye are spies, to see the nakedness of the land ye are come. And they said unto him, Nay, my lord, but to buy food are thy servants come. We are all one man's sons. We are true men. Thy servants are no spies. And he said unto them, Nay, but to see the nakedness of the land ye are come. And they said, Thy servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not. And Joseph said unto them, That is it that I spake unto you, saying, Ye are spies. Hereby ye shall be proved. By the life of Pharaoh ye shall not go forth hence, except your youngest brother come hither. Send one of you, and let him fetch your brother, and ye shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, whether there be any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh surely ye are spies. And he put them all together into ward 3 days. And Joseph said unto them the third day, This do and live, for I fear God. If ye be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye, carry corn for the famine of your houses, but bring your youngest brother unto me. So shall your words be verified, and ye shall not die. And they did so. And they said one to another, We are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. And Reuben answered them, saying, Spake I not unto you, saying, Do not sin against the child, and ye would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. And he turned himself about from them, and wept, and returned to them again, and communed with them, and took from them Simeon, and bound him before their eyes. Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn, and to restore every man's money into his sack, and to give them provision for the way. And thus did he unto them. And they laded their asses with the corn, and departed thence. And as one of them opened his sack to give his ass provender in the inn, he espied his money, for behold, it was in his sack's mouth. And he said unto his brethren, My money is restored, and lo, it is even in my sack. And their heart failed them. And they were afraid, saying one to another, What is this that God hath done unto us? And they came unto Jacob their father, unto the land of Canaan, and told him all that befell unto them, saying, The man who is the lord of the land spake roughly to us, and took us for spies of the country. And we said unto him, We are true men, we are no spies. We be 12 brethren, sons of our father. One is not, and the youngest is this day with our father in the land of Canaan. And the man, the lord of the country, said unto us, Hereby shall I know that ye are true men. Leave one of your brethren here with me, and take food for the famine of your households, and be gone. And bring your youngest brother unto me. Then shall I know that ye are no spies, but that ye are true men. So will I deliver you your brother, and ye shall traffic in the land. And it came to pass, as they emptied their sacks, that, behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when both they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. And Jacob their father said unto them, Me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. And Reuben spake unto his father, saying, Slay my two sons, if I bring him not to thee. Deliver him into my hand, and I will bring him to thee again. And he said, My son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone. If mischief befall him by the way in the which ye go, then shall ye bring down my grey hairs with sorrow to the grave. May God bless that reading of his holy word to us. May he teach us how to pray. Most kind and gracious and almighty Lord God in heaven, once more we're favoured to gather in thy house. Oh, we pray that we may be found like John in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Oh, we pray thy special favour and blessing. We beseech thee, dear Lord, that thou would condescend to visit us and bless us with thy presence and with thy special favour. Lord, we gather to worship thee. Lord, we pray that it may be indeed a time of worship here this day, that we may praise thee for all that thou art and for all that thou hast done, that thou would stir up our hearts in love toward thee, that thou would, Lord, work in our hearts and in our minds, that we may see those things in our lives to trace out thy work both in providence and in grace, and have those things that we may think on and consider as we come into thy courts. And truly, Lord, if we view our sinnership and our failings, then, Lord, will it not be that sense in our hearts that thou hast not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities? And Lord, though there may be the thorny way, the rough places, the crooked things, yet, Lord, compared to our sins, compared to our many failings and faults, we have to acknowledge thy mercy and thy restraining hand and thy patience and the long-suffering toward us. But oh, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt help us in these things. May the Spirit help us in our infirmity. Lord, we often view things wrongly. We judge thee wrongly. Lord, we have so little faith. Lord, we have are prone to such unbelief. But oh, we pray that in all these infirmities, these weaknesses, these failings, Lord, that thou wilt bless us indeed with living faith. Lord, that thou wilt open our eyes. That thou wilt, Lord, open our ears and our hearts that we may receive thy word in faith. That the word this day may enter in and prove to be that balm in Gilead. Oh, there may be that soothing of the souls of one and another. That the broken hearts may be bound up. That the troubled waters may be stilled. Lord, that thou would appear and still the waves and the billows. Oh, we pray, Lord Jesus, do come and give us that sense of thy presence with us. Lord, what a difference will be made, will be felt. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou would truly favour us this day. Do come and stand in our midst. Do order all things for us. But Lord, may it be Christ revealed and Christ made precious to us. May there be some here with that desire, so we would see Jesus. Lord, we pray that such seeking souls may be granted that view. We would see Jesus. Lord, how we need thee to come and come right where we are, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. Oh, that thou come over all the obstacles, the hindrances. Lord, thou knowest what Satan would put up, how he'd seek to hinder and disrupt. But, oh Lord, we pray that thou will come over all and come right where we are. And that thou wilt touch our hearts. And that thou wilt meet our cases. For thou knowest the cases of each who are here. Thou knowest, Lord, the needs. Thou knowest, Lord, where they are in their little lives. And Lord, we pray that thou bless us each indeed, and that thy word may be suited as only thou canst to each case. And Lord, that we may leave different to how we came. May hearts be lifted. May spirits be lifted. May the downcast souls be lifted. Expectations raised, a good hope through grace put within each troubled heart. May the burdens, Lord, be lifted. Lord, we pray that there may be that casting all our care upon him. For he careth for you. Lord, we pray that we may prove it day by day, the loving care of a heavenly Father. Lord, then forgive us all our many sins. We have to confess, Lord, oh, how often we're prone to this dreadful sin of unbelief. As we hear thy word, Lord, doubts overwhelm us at times. We doubt thy power. We doubt thy ability. We doubt thy love. Oh Lord, we pray, do forgive us these dreadful sins, the God-dishonouring sin of unbelief. Lord, oh, that thou would purge it from our hearts, that thou would create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. O spirit of submission, that we may have that childlike faith. Oh, we pray that we may truly be brought to leave all at thy feet, that we may leave those things and wait patiently for thy appearing. So, Lord, help those that wait. Do encourage them. Lord, strengthen them in their resolve. Lord, we pray that thou wilt be with any who have sought thee long, who feel their prayers to be at present unanswered. O Lord, do hold them fast. Keep them near to thee. Lord, we pray that it may please thee to turn and smile upon them. May this be the glad hour, even this day, Lord, when thou wilt turn their captivity. So, Lord, do break in pieces the gates of brass and cut asunder the bars of iron. And, Lord, set the captives free. May that powerful, all-prevailing voice be heard. Loose him and let him go. So, Lord, do give life, light and liberty. Lord, may gospel liberty be known. Oh, Lord, we pray that there may be that love of Christ flowing in our hearts, overflowing. Oh, that love that constrains, that compels, Lord, that moves thy people. Lord, we pray, increase our faith. Lord, increase that love, that our love may flow to thee in return. Lord, we pray that thou wilt remember each, that thou knowest each case, each concern. Lord, thou knowest those that are not here. Lord, be with them where they are. Lord, thou knowest each that are here and how they've come and the spirit that they're in. And, oh Lord, if there are any who have come reluctantly this morning or out of duty and tradition, oh, that thou would send forth thy quickening spirit. Oh, that there may be an arrow found in their hearts. Lord, that they may fall under thy feet. Lord, that they may be brought to confess their sins at thy feet while thou mayest be found. Lord, leave none to perish in their sins. But may we be quickened and awakened to see the danger, a never-ending eternity, a judgment day, oh, and our unfitness by nature to stand before thee. Lord, we pray, convince us of our sins, then lead to Jesus' blood, our only hope, the only hope for poor, needy sinners. May a precious Christ be lifted up this day, Lord, many may look and live and see in him their every need supplied. Lord, we pray then, have mercy upon us. Lord, if we're to receive anything from thee, it's on the grounds of mercy, for we deserve nothing. But Lord, we thank thee that there is mercy to be found. Many have proved that thou art merciful and gracious. May we each go on to prove it personally, thy mercy. For without thy sweet mercy, I could not live here. Sin soon would reduce me to utter despair. Oh, to save any, Lord, from that utter despair. Any bearing the burdens of sin and the feeling the burning temptation of Satan. Lord, any fighting and struggling with the tempter, Lord, we pray, send help from the sanctuary, strengthen them out of Zion. Lord, may they find thee able to sustain, able to make that way of escape. Oh, may they call upon the name of Jesus. Oh, for he shall save his people from their sins. Oh, to have them cast behind thy back. Oh, Lord, and remembered no more. May we be saved with that everlasting salvation, washed in the precious blood of the dear Redeemer. Oh, blotted out as a thick cloud our transgressions, and as a cloud our sins, oh, to be found returning to thee. Lord, may prodigals be found returning. Oh, may, Lord, backsliders be found returning. Lord, may sovereign grace be found abounding in our hearts. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Or may we each be able to say that. A simple, sweet testimony of an everlasting love of God. Oh Lord, raise us up to a hope in thy name. Lord, we pray for the children. Do bless them. Be with them. We thank thee for them. The Sunday school, Lord, the teachers, Lord, be with them each. And parents bringing up children. Lord, how we need grace in this evil day in which we live to stand for what we believe. Oh, that we may dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone. Oh, that we may not conform to these worldly things, Lord, but do strengthen and put thy fear in the hearts of the young people and children. And influence them, Lord, they may make those right choices. Lord, do keep them as the apple of thine eye, and hide them beneath the shadow of thy wing. Hedge about their ways. Lord, steer them, direct them, guide them. Influence them from within, and may the world not influence them from without. Lord, do preserve them unto thee. Lord, we cannot keep our children, but thou canst. Oh, make them thy children, and bless them indeed. Lord, raise them up to be pillars in thy churches. Lord, do send forth men equipped to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Supply the needs of the churches, Lord, in this day in which we live. Oh, Lord, do turn again. Do revive thy work.
O Lord, who pour out thy Spirit upon us, as individuals, may it be a spirit of grace and of supplication. And Lord, may there be that Holy Spirit poured forth into this land. Oh, that there may be a turning unto thee and a building up of thy churches once more. Lord Jesus, do come and make the place of thy feet glorious. Do walk amongst the candlesticks. Lord, come into thy garden. Lord, do bless us with thy presence. May all that's done this day be to thy honour and glory. Lord, forgive us all our sins, and Lord, we pray, wash us and make us clean, and forgive all that we ask amiss. And where we fail to ask, Lord, make up in giving. And be with any who feel their case has not been mentioned, Lord, bring them to the throne of grace, that they may call upon thee and find answers of peace. Lord, we pray all things in that worthy name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We ask for his sake alone. Amen.
Hymn 303. Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly, while the raging billows roll, while the tempest still is high. Hide me, O my Saviour, hide, till the storm of life is past, safe into the haven guide. O receive my soul at last. 303.
you turn with me to the chapter we read, Genesis chapter 42. And with the Lord's help this morning, I'll speak to you from the closing part of verse 36. All these things are against me. Genesis chapter 42, the closing part of verse 36. All these things are against me. In the life of Jacob, he passed through many, many scenes, changing scenes, and he proved God faithful to his word. And we're told time and time again in God's word that God is the God of Jacob. May we not leave chapel this morning without remembering that, that God is the God of Jacob. And Jacob here, you know, he had this trouble, this great trouble. He had, not only had he had Joseph taken from him, which was a great burden, a great trial to him, an ongoing trial, something that had an effect on his life. But then along comes this famine. And you know, we know, don't we, that trouble comes. Naturally, you know, man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. No one, I believe, lives a trouble-free life. Maybe you go on in it for a few years and you enjoy a quietness and there's a relative peace in your life, but really in the back of your mind, don't you know that it won't last? Something will come sooner or later. That trouble will come. Man is born unto trouble. There's a certainty to it as the sparks fly upward. And here a day of trouble comes. This famine comes and affects them and brings them into distress. And we read, didn't we, of them going down into Egypt and seeking to buy corn. You know, written across the life of Jacob, you know, as he gathered up his feet at the end of his life into his bed and died, written over that deathbed could be written this: for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. But really, that word, would it have been a comfort to Jacob in the context of our text this morning? Well, it may have been. But you know, when you're in this spirit that Jacob was, when trouble comes and then more trouble and more trouble, you know, Jacob was in a place where he was under the rod, under the great weight of Joseph being taken, and it caused him great sorrow. And now all of this, they go down to buy corn, something that should be fairly simple, a simple transaction. And yet they return, and another son is missing. Simeon's been held back. And all these things they've gone to buy, and yet they've come back with money in their sacks. What's all this?
that, well, these things are all looking like trouble. They've been accused of being spies. Will they be accused of stealing? And now they can't go, they must go back. But if they go back, Benjamin must go with them. Jacob says, my son shall not go down with you. But he had to. You know, this wasn't the end of it for Jacob. All these things are against me. And yet he wasn't at the end of the thing. You know, how favoured we are, aren't we, to have these things recorded in Holy Scripture. The Holy Spirit has prompted these things to be left on record, not just the facts of the life of Jacob, not just the events, but time and time again we get an insight into the feelings of those whom the events are written about. We have these little insights into how they are feeling. And here we have it. This expression comes forth as in his mind he recalls all these things, all these events, all this trouble. He said, all these things are against me. Well, you couldn't blame him to feel like that, could you, really? You know, he's a real man. A normal, natural man. He's just a man. A sinner. Just like you and me. And at times, you say, well, surely he's one of the Lord's dear children. Surely he should have faith. Surely he shouldn't sink to this place. Surely he should look back at all the way the Lord has led him. There's no excuse for this. Well, friends, he's a sinner. And you and I are sinners. And you know, yes, we should not fear. Yes, in the letter of the glorious gospel, we shouldn't have these fears, and our minds and hearts should not fail. But they do, sadly, solemnly. We do fail. We do stutter. We do stumble. Our hands do hang down. Our knees do tremble. But there's a merciful, there's a gracious, there's an almighty Lord God in heaven. That though we have these failings, though we are have these faults, these weaknesses, though sadly, solemnly, we have to confess our faith is so small at times, appears to be so small at times, yet a merciful, a gracious, an almighty Lord God knows our weaknesses. He knows you and he knows me better than we know ourselves. And he knew Jacob. You know, these things that happened in the life of, we can read the life of Joseph, you can read the life of Jacob, you read the life of these godly saints of old. Every single thing in their life is ordered. Every single thing in your life and in my life is ordered. These are not, Lord, God does not work in a haphazard way. Everything is for a purpose. There's a purpose to every single thing. And if you and I are numbered amongst his dear children, these things are working together for our real eternal good. They are working for our real good. Every single thing is moved by a hand of love from a heavenly Father to his children. Always remember that. Even the rod, even the chastisement, when the Lord lays his rod on his children, it has an end in sight. There's always an end in sight with all things in the life of the children of God. An end in sight is this. It's for their real eternal good. It's for his honour and glory and for their real eternal good. Well, there's an end in sight with all things in the lives of the evil, those that are outside, those that are cast off. There's an end in sight to all. There's a purpose to everything. But with the children of God, it's for good. It's for good. But at times, in the experience of it, when you're on the receiving end of it, it doesn't feel to be good. We can't always see the good. We certainly can't always see the hand of love in it. We can't at times find God in it. We at times cannot find any rest in it. We can't find any peace in it. And we say, like Jacob, all these things are against me. But no, Jacob, they're for you. All these things are not against you. They're for you. They're working for you. And we have, don't we, the privilege of flicking a few pages and seeing the end of the thing from the middle and from the beginning. Well, we can do that in Jacob's life, but you can't do it in yours, and I can't do it in mine. We know what happened yesterday. We may not know the reason for it, but we know what happened, and we're experiencing what's happening today, but we haven't got a clue, really, what's going to happen tomorrow. And yet we feel we can judge, and we feel we can second guess, and we feel we can we know the reasons, and we know the answers. Really, we know nothing. We see a little snapshot, and we can't see the end. We don't know what the purpose is. Oh, but may the Lord give us this living faith in our hearts. May we be brought to know that these things are for our real good. May it prove to be. Those of you who are yet to feel the love of Christ, to feel that persuasion, you are numbered amongst one of his dear children. May this very thing be the means of it. You say all things work together for good. That's lovely, but then there's that second part. To them that love God. Am I really one of those? To them who are called, you see, you've gone and done it, now you cut me off. I don't feel to be one of these that are called. How do I know I'm one of these that are called? Friends, you're looking at the wrong end of the thing. You're looking at coming at it from the wrong end. Now that you see the things working in your life. The Lord, is he steering you? Is he shaping you? Is he directing you? Is he guiding you? Is he hedging up a door here? Is he opening one there? Is he disappointing you? Frustrating your plans here? Why? Are you begging him that it will be for good? You know, through these things, men live to see the second part. Oh, the Lord showing them that he's dealing with them as with children. Has this thing come for this end, to bring you to his feet? You know, what a thing. If trouble comes upon you, if you're brought into this strait, into this difficulty, coming unexpectedly, suddenly, down you go. Oh, on your knees in prayer. What can you say except, Lord, help me? As he squeezed that from you in this pressing, weighty matter. It's working together for your good. How good it is to be brought to his feet. Oh, don't despise the means that brings you there. You will look back, I'm sure, and thank him for this trouble. You will. If it's brought you to his feet, if you've called upon him in the day of trouble, he said, thou shalt glorify me. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. And you will, oh, it will prove to be nevertheless afterward. There's to be an afterward, a looking back. You know, sometimes in trouble, during trouble, and the coming out of trouble are some of the sweetest times in the life of the children of God. How present they have felt the Saviour. How welcome his everlasting arms have been. How near they felt to him. When everything has been in tatters, when things have been all in disarray, when everything's been chaos, and yet the Lord has visited them. And he's given them a peace. And he's given them help. And he's given them strength equal to the day. And he's carried them through. And at that time, in a special way, they felt a nearness to him. Their days to look back to. Well, you don't like the trouble. Oh, but the presence, the help, the felt presence of God is something to be treasured, something to be remembered. But Jacob says, all these things are against me. Oh, he's feeling, he's under the weight of it. He's in the fiery trial. And the fire is burning on him. And one thing after another, is happening. And it's all these things are against me. And how often we can feel despondent. How often we can feel cast down. You know, particularly when trouble comes, and maybe it's, you've not felt the relief from the first trouble, and this second one has piled in. You say, is God been angry with me? Well, it's good to think these things. Is this the rod? You know, the way of transgressors is hard. You know, you young people, you children growing up, you know, you cannot sin lightly. You know, I've proved in my little life the way of transgressors is hard, that the sorrow of a misspent youth, that the things done in teenage years, may the Lord keep you, may the Lord help you, for the way of transgressors is hard. Well, is this trouble? Is it my sin? You know, that the rod comes. Sometimes it's chastisement. Sometimes it's for correction. There's something not right. You're not in the right frame of mind. You're not in the right spirit. There's something wrong in your life. What happened to Joshua? They went to fight the children of Ai. They sent a few thousand men, and they were defeated. A little tiny city easily should have been overcome. They just defeated Jericho, that great city. And what happened? Defeat. And Joshua, he was angry. Angry against God. This trouble had come. Would to God that we'd not been brought, he said, across this side of Jordan. Angry. God said, up, up. You know, God spoke to him. There's something wrong. I've not done this for no reason. I don't willingly afflict the children of men. I don't do these things unnecessarily. Something's wrong. There's an Achan in the camp. Something's not right. There's a sin. And it must be purged out. The rod has come. Well, what do we need? We need grace to fall under it. Not grace to resist. You know, Jonah, doest thou well to be angry? Angry, said Almighty God. He said, I do well. No, you don't, Jonah. Oh, may we be given spirit of submission. We know when we feel maybe this temperament in us rising. You know, when things go against us, you get cross and angry. It should have been easy. Why has this come? Why has this trouble come? And there's this rising up within us. We're fighting against it. We're kicking against it. We're striving against it. You can't strive against God. Job said, didn't he? He says, my foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from his commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? Why has the Lord gone out against me? Why does it seem that his hand is against me? Oh, rather than fighting against him, you can't fight against God. Oh, but to be given grace to fall under it. He is in one mind. And who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. What is appointed? What is appointed for me? What is appointed for you? Many such things are with him. Therefore am I troubled at his presence. When I consider, I am afraid of him. You know, what a privilege if the Lord makes us aware of these things. What a favour it is if the Lord gives us a soft heart. Job says, for God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me. Not a hard heart. Under the rod, under the affliction, in the trouble, when you're put into the fire. Oh, Lord, soften my heart. Oh, that I may be found feeling things. That I may experience something in this, through this, that this may be sanctified, may be used, I may be taught, it may do something, it may accomplish something vital for me, good for my soul. I may not pass through this with a hard heart that's one of not feeling, not being taught, nothing done, just passing through it, struggling through it, fighting against it. Oh, but to fall at his feet. Maybe it is for correction, for rebuke. You know, we need correcting. What kind of father would not and does not correct his children? Are we perfect children? Do we live perfect lives? You know how far short we come, don't we? And how often we need this rod. To be brought back sometimes. You know, sometimes it's not a sin like Achan. If it is, may our prayer be, Lord, show me this sin that's caused this. If it's a rod for sin, if there's something amiss, Lord, show me. Oh, Lord, give me grace to confess. Show me what to confess. And, Lord, give me grace to then separate from it. Oh, to give up that idol. Or to not hold that idol as closely as I once did. Lord, may it not be an idol to me. Lord, may Christ be all and in all. Oh, Lord, show me my faults, my errors, and bring me to thy feet. But what else? Well, maybe it's for a work of grace. How intertwined providence and grace is. Inseparable at times, so intertwined in the life of the Lord's children. Oh, is that what you're praying? Maybe there's loved ones looking on. Someone's in trouble. Are you praying for them? Are you praying that the Lord will use it for their real good? Are you praying that it is one of those strokes, an awakening stroke? Are you praying that in it that they'll be found at the Saviour's feet? Crying, Lord, help me. Are you praying that it won't just be a providential thing, but the Lord will, in it, show them a never-ending eternity, make himself known, not just as a God of providence, but as a God of grace, to find grace of God at the throne of grace, that in dealing with this providential matter, the Lord brings about a knowledge that they are numbered amongst his children. Are you praying that this is an evidence of the Lord's work to one of his children, seeking for it? All these things are against me. Well, how we feel it at times, cast down and forgotten. The psalmist says, doesn't he? He says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain thee. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. Oh, this continual casting our care upon him, and proving that he cares for us. To be brought, maybe for the first time, to truly cast something on him, casting this great burden upon him, waiting patiently for him, waiting for him to appear, waiting for him to deliver thee. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, are not consumed. Jacob, all these things are against me. But not consumed in them, not consumed by them, cast down, yet hoping. We had it above the hymn, didn't we, our middle hymn, tempted, but flying to Christ for refuge. Oh, that being cast down, yet looking to him. My mind went to hymn 273, driving here this morning. Though afflicted, tempest-tossed, comfortless a while thou art, do not think thou canst be lost. Thou art graven on my heart. All thy wastes I will repair. Thou shalt be rebuilt anew, and in thee it shall appear what the God of love can do. Now these are, with the people of God, the movings of a God of love. And in thee it shall appear what the God of love can do. It's just for a moment. It's just for a season. For a small moment have I forsaken thee. Jacob, all these things are against me. Where are you, Jacob? Where are you in your feelings? Where are you spiritually? Where are you this morning? Where am I this morning? All these things are against me. Thou knowest the way to bring me back. Is he bringing you back through it? Have you become stale, lukewarm, indifferent? Are you loitering in your way? Oh, as the eagle stirreth up its nest, it's not in harshness, it's necessary. Those thorns that are in that nest, they must be uncovered. The young must feel the pricks. They must leave the nest. They can't stay there. It would be cruel. They'll perish. But those pricks are hard. They're sharp. They're not pleasant. All these things are against me. No, they're not. They're moving you on. They're moving you forward. They're moving you out. Oh, and it's love. The eagle stirring up her nest. It's an act of love. Not anger, love. Something must change. Something must be done. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment. It's just a moment. It's just a little. It's just a small thing. But with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places shall be made plain. Every valley, those deep places that you're brought into, when you're down, shall be exalted. It says they're rising up, a lifting up, a bringing up, a bearing up of those that are passing through these valleys. It's looking unto Jesus. Oh, it's seeking grace, submission to his will. All these things are against me, Lord. They feel to be against me. Lord, thy hand feels to have gone against me. Lord, if it's my sin, help me to confess. Bring me to confess. Let me find thee faithful to that word. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, if it's my wandering in my heart, Lord, bring me back. Lord, let this, all these things that seem against me, not be pushing me away, but may it be, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. With weeping and with supplications will I lead them. That's the pathway of the child of God. One of weeping, one of pouring out his heart, not just in prayer, but in supplications and strong crying with tears, walking the way the Saviour walked. Oh, it's there. That's the path of the child of God. Weeping and with supplications will I lead them. Oh, Lord, is this leading me? May it not lead me away into the world, but may this lead me to the throne of grace. May this trouble lead me to the feet of the Saviour. May I view him. Oh, my meditation of him will be sweet. What is all my trouble compared to his afflictions? A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Oh, Lord, let this be Christ revealed, and Christ made precious for the first time or again. Lord, if there's dross, if there's tin, if there's rubbish in my religion, in my life, in my heart, Lord, let this fiery trial purge it. Give me grace to wait till the last of the rubbish is burnt off. Oh, but Lord, let the gold appear. Let it appear for thy honour and glory. Lord, I can't see any yet. Oh, but may it yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness in my heart. May it have that nevertheless afterward. Yes, I might be poorer in my bank account. Yes, I may be weaker in my health. Oh, but may I be strong in faith. May I be filled with the love of Christ. May it be I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. May I not be like this, left in this spirit, all these things are against me, but like Paul, in affliction say, none of these things move me. None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear to me. Oh, to have that resolve. Oh, what a place to be brought. Oh, Lord, if this is to make me sick of this life, to be made willing to leave all and to follow thee, oh, then go on. Lord, go on. Continue this work. Lord, if this is the cross I must take up, let me take it and follow thee. Oh, may it be this my resolve. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. An obedience of Christ Jesus. Let this cup pass from me. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Oh, that submission to his will. Grace in the fiery trial. All these things are against me. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amount to £730, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. Parish will address the Sunday school this afternoon and administer the Lord's Supper this evening. And there will be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Tim Barker, and Mr. Izzard is expected to preach on Tuesday evening and next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 925. Peace by his cross has Jesus made, the church's everlasting head. O'er hell and sin has victory won, and with a shout to glory gone. 925.
Thank you. may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.